Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am always as excited because we're talking about the Word of God. Tonight we're going to continue in the book of 2 Kings. Now I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question is and always will be for the hour, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. The blessing is, you want to be perfect? Then you do these things that Jesus is instructing you towards that perfection. Again, Jesus says in another place, and he that looked round about them, which sat above about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my brother and my sister. That's taken from Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. Again, you want to be considered Jesus's brethren, then you must do what Jesus says do. Again, Jesus says, give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. And running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So you want things to come your way? Then you must be a giver and not just a taker. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the key to this Are you listening? Are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ and of God? Now, before we get started, I always rehearse to remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are here this evening, studying and learning together. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 25 through verse 31. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is this: famine in Samaria causes delirium. Okay, as we have, and I note that in this study, in the book of Kings and in the book of Chronicles and in the book of Samuel, we're looking at the exploits of different individual characters that are identified in the history, if you will, of Israel at that time. And so this is where Elisha was a prophet. And famine in Samaria causes delirium. And this is what 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25 through 31 says. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord did not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto him, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and that we eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Now, we must remember that this particular king was Ben-Hadad. He was the king of Syria, and they had overtaken and besieged Samaria. So he really wasn't the king of Israel, all right? But, of course, he assumed that position because he had conquered Israel at the time. Now, what we want to do is we want to go to our complement. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at several verses, verse 1, 2, 7 through 17. And this is the delirium or the connection. Listen to what the gospel writer Mark says. And there came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And then we go to verse 7 through 17 that completes the thought. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, Jesus did, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he said to him, "What is thy name?" Jesus said to the unclean spirit. And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him, and I see that we're at our first break. Let us take that break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul says, take a stand, withstand, and then stand in the evil day. And believe me, the battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. Because I assure you, when Satan sees you walking down the road like this, he will totally destroy you. You can't possibly survive in your own strength. Why are so many Christians decimated right now? Why are they just absolutely falling out? Because they don't have the strength to endure. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. That means put on this whole armor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can get nothing from heaven without faith. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. Peace, love, and joy come by faith. You are no match for the prince of darkness. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you are more than a conqueror. You can look the devil in the eye and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Get out of my life. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my home. Get away from my children. Get away from my health. The power and the anointing of God are with me. And I am the conqueror here. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. The translation is, fight him and fight him every day. Resist him and resist him every day. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take a stand means you refuse to be intimidated by Satan, who comes as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The truth is not something. The truth is someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you have the truth, and you walk in the truth, and you joy in the truth, and you rejoice with truth that is unspeakable and unshakable, because Christ is the solid rock, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion. He's not trying to be truth. He is the truth. I want to put on the whole armor of God and come out fighting with fresh fire, that I can be counted worthy to be numbered among the New Testament saints.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with this first instruction. Famine in Samaria causes delirium. And you can see what the delirium was when the son of the king of Ben-Hadad was eaten by them. And then the other son was hidden. And, of course, delirium is the reason that this occurred. Now what we're doing is reading Mark chapter 5, and we're seeing where there was a lunatic at the tomb where Jesus was in that particular land. And this is, again, what occurred. And this is verse 7 through 17. And cried with a loud voice and said, what I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Jesus said unto the lunatic, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit asked him, or Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that they might not be sent away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine eating. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, meaning they were delirious because of that occurrence. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to Jesus to depart out of their coast. That was the cause of the delirium. You can see what happened to the swine and the people themselves. Because of the occurrence, they could not handle what Jesus had done, and they wanted him to leave. So that was what the instruction and the compliment is saying. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 6 again, and we're going to look at some more verses, 32 and 33. And this time what I want you to do is keep in mind, again, this is the instruction. Elijah prophesies against the king's delirium. Okay, now we're going to see how Elijah intervenes. It says in verse 32, but Elijah sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head? Look, when the door messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? And so, again, the prophecy of Elijah is that this happened because of the king's disobedience. Now, let's go to Mark 5 again, and we're going to look at verse 18 and 19, and we're going to complete the thought with the lunatic. This is what Mark 5 verse 18 and 19 says. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. So that is exactly what he did. And so that is the, not prophecy, but that is the direction that Jesus gave to the lunatic, and he obeyed. Okay, let's go back to the instruction. We're going to look at instruction number 21 this time. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 1, verse 2, and verse 18 to 20. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The measure of flour and barley prophecy. Okay. These are instances, again, this is Elijah doing what the Lord wills him to do and prophesying to all of these individuals that came his way during his reign as prophet. Now, the measure of flour and barley prophecy, this is it. And this is what verse 1 says of chapter 7 in 2 Kings. Then Elijah says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy own eyes, but shall not eat of it. And verse 18 through 20 completes the thought. And this is what it says. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered and the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat of it. And so it fell unto him, and the people trod upon him at the gate, and he died. So that was the prophecy. Because he did not believe it, he was killed. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to get the compliment reading. And this is what Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says concerning the compliment. And this is what it says, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So this is when the fourth seal, the third seal, was broken and at the end of time. And the prophecy is that the oil and the wine should not be hurt with the sale of the barley and the wheat. And that is the connection. And, of course, there's more to the understanding of that. But we have not come to the fourth, the breaking of the seals yet to that extent where we would know all of the details. Okay, I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
There was a place in biblical times called Gadara. There was a man there who was possessed with a legion of devils. Depending upon which authority you read after, that can be from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So we'll be conservative. We'll take 3,000. This man has got 3,000 devils inside of him. And he is naked. He has cut himself with stones. He walks and lives and sleeps among the dead. And anybody who serves the devil lives among the dead. He cuts himself. But Jesus steps on board the little ship. And he sets his sail toward Gadara. And when he lands in Gadara, the maniac comes running. And here's the thing that is incredible to me. He's got 6,000 devils. But the man, in spite of the habitation or inhabitation of 6,000 devils, his human spirit wanted to worship. And the Bible says the man came and worshiped. 3,000 to 6,000 devils could not stop him from worshiping. The devil cannot stop you from worshiping if you want to worship. He came and he worshiped. He came and he worshiped. And the Bible says in the end of that story that the maniac was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 22. We're looking at 2 Kings, chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. And the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text is Elijah warns the Shunammite woman about the 7 years famine. That's instruction number 22. Elijah warns the Shunammite woman about the 7 years famine. Listen to what the text says about this. Then Elijah said unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thy household, and sojourn whithersoever thou can sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land for 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at 7 years in that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all of was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. So you can see that after the 7 year famine, she received exactly what she left back. Now let's go to Acts chapter 21. And similarly, we're going to compare and agree Acts chapter 21, verse 10 through 14. This is what the Bible says. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both, all of that place, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the Lord will of, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So see, this here was a prophecy also. And the Shunammite woman obeyed what was told to her by Elisha. And you can see where Paul, he obeyed Jesus. Jesus told him that he had to go to Jerusalem. So it didn't matter what the prophet Agabus said. Paul was going to listen to Jesus. That is the connection. Okay, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 8 again. We're going to read several more verses out of chapter 8. And this is instruction 23. And 2 Kings chapter 8, we're going to read verse 10, verse 14, and verse 15. And this is the instruction for chapter 23, or for instruction number 23. Peziel lied to King Ben-Hadad. And this is what happened. Chapter 8, verse 10, and Elisha said unto him, go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die. Verse 14, so he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to thee? And he answered, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. And verse 15, and it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hezekiah reigned in his stead. So Hazael lied to King Benadad, and then he killed him. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 5. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. We're going to get to the compliment, and we're going to see verse 1 through 10. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. And listen to what happened to this in these individuals that lied also. It says, chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. So we can see that the lie will constitute death. That's the key. Now, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 24, and it's taken from 2 Kings, verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 16, and then verse 23 through 26. And the only reason that I bring this up, my precious brothers and sisters, because I find a discrepancy in this particular instruction, in this particular verse, these verses of the Bible. Listen to what the instruction is. Instruction 24, the instruction is King Joram and King Jehoram, mistaken identity. And the is that as I read it to you, I will show you where the Bible says King Jehoram, and it's really talking about King Jehoram or King Joram and King Jehoram. They switched them. And this is how it reads. Verse 16 of chapter 8 says, and in the fifth year of, in fact, what I'm going to do, since I don't want to break the continuity, we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with this particular instruction.
Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question. Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Or was he just a good person? Was he just a man, or was he God? If he was just a man, he's been 6 feet under for 2,000 years. But if he was God, he's ruling on the throne as we speak. But who is he? Jesus, he is the creator of everything you see. He created it. There was no such thing as evolution. We did not come from animals. We come from heavenly royalty. We come from the creator Jesus. The planets did not form on their own. They were molded in God's hands. The same hand that made the universe was nailed to the cross for our sins. That's our God. He is the Redeemer. He gave us redemption when he died for us. He knew we needed redemption from sin. He came to set us free. He redeemed the lost cause. He redeemed the broken. He redeemed the sinners who came to him. If you have been broken to nothing, God will build you back into something for him. That's our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. Pilate once asked him, are you king? And Jesus said, yes, but my kingdom is not of this world. He's been on the throne since the beginning of time, and no one can move him off of it. He rules with a righteous hand. He is clothed in white. He is majesty. He rules the world. He is the God of Israel. He once had a crown of thorns on his head. but in the future we will cast our crowns at his feet. That is our God. He is the ultimate judge. No enemy of God has a chance against him. His judgment is right, his judgment is just, and his judgment is final. Nothing gets by him, nothing escapes him. The enemy that comes against you today and makes life tough is going to have to face him. The person that tries to bring you down will have to look up at God. The person that plans against you will have to meet the God of all plans. In Romans 12:19, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's our God. He is the ultimate physician. Miracles happen in his name. Cancer, the coronavirus, is no match for our God. Sickness and disease vanish in his presence. He's the ultimate doctor. He's the ultimate healer. He is the cure for sickness and disease. That's our God. He is our friend. When we have nothing, we still have him. He's loyal. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. He never betrays you. He calls you his sons and daughters. He is for you, not against you. He is I Am. He is the Son of God. He is the Godhead, three in one. He is life. He is love. He is truth. And he wants you. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again. He protects you. He corrects you and guides you when the wolf in sheep's clothing tries to attack you. That's our God. He is the Father you've always wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. That's why he died for you. He wants all of you and not a part of you. He wants the best for you and not the worst. If you were the only person on earth, his love for you still would have drove him to the cross. He did not let the Romans take his life, but he gave it up for you. He is perfect, and he saw past your flaws to love who you really are. You are the apple of his eye, but who is God to you? Was he just a man, or was he God? You will have to choose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, again, instruction number 24, it's King Joram and King Jehoram. And what I'm going to show you is where in the writing, the writer misplaced identity using Jehoram as, or Joram as Jehoram. This is where it starts, and I'll walk you through it. And that's the only point that I'm making in this particular instruction, so there won't be any compliment to it. It is 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 16. Listen, and in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. So Jehoram is the king of Judah, and Joram is the king of Israel. Now this is what verse 23 through verse 26 says. Or before I get there, let me read the other three verses. Verse 17, 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And that is talking about Jehoram. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. So he did not walk in the ways of the kings of Judah. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, which Joram was over. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him away a light to his children. So the only reason that God didn't destroy Joram was because he ruled over Judah, and that was a promise God made to Judah. Now listen, in his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves, all right? So Joram went over to Zer and all of his chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots, and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libya revolted at the same time. Now, Joram was the king of Israel and not the king of Judah. And this happened, as it says in verse 22, yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah. So Joram was not the king of Judah. Joram was the king of Israel. And so that's the point that I'm presenting. And that's the only reason for this particular instruction, is to point out that discrepancy. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, if you have an interest in talking about that, you can call in and we can discuss it over the in the chat room, or you can get in touch with me by email and we can also discuss this. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn with me. We're going to go to now 2 Kings chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 6. That's 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And this is instruction 25. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Jehud, anointed king of Israel according to God through Elijah, through another prophet. So this is what God is getting ready to do through Elijah and another prophet, is to anoint another king of Israel. And this is what it says. It says, and Elisha, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehud, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him out to the inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehud said, unto which of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went with him in the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the Lord, even over Israel. So that was not taking the lineage into concern. This was the captain of the guard of Joram, and he's the one that was made king by God. And so this is, now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to substantiate this, okay? Now, this is telling us that God can do whatever God decides to do. And this is where we're going now to 8 in Romans. And this is how Paul puts it, all right? Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, and it's verse 28 through 31. Listen to what Paul says in this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? My precious brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter about pedigree or lineage or royalty or intelligence or any other thing. God says, and he said it to Moses in Exodus chapter 32 or 33, I believe, when Moses was on the mountain receiving the second group of tablets of the Ten Commandments, he passed by Moses and said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Okay, so that's the connection. And I see we're at our last break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson, the instruction.
Don't watch the wind. Everybody put that in the comment. Don't watch the wind. Because that's what Peter did when he was transcending something that should have caused him to drown, the water. And he was dealing with elements that should have knocked him off his feet. The wind was powerful enough to cause the entire ocean to rock. It wasn't powerful enough to knock Peter down until he watched it, until he put his eyes on it, until he put his focus on it. And man, there's nothing that I believe more strongly than this, that faith and fear are both a product of your focus. And you can choose either one in any moment of your life. And so when we watch the wind and we spend all day just checking stuff that is constantly reinforcing our anxiety and forecasting uncertainty in our future, every once in a while, we've got to take control of our focus. And I just want to make sure you remember that the news is meant to be checked, not watched. The facts are not the ultimate reality for us as people of faith. They're important. Oh yeah, they're important. Like the facts right now concerning this virus, they're supremely important. But I want to know if you believe there's a deeper reality than that that governs your life. Like the hand of God is on you and your family. And I'm just believing for your peace tonight. But don't watch the wind. It wasn't the wind that knocked Peter down. It was the fact that he watched it. It says when he saw the wind. Check it out in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he began to sink. It's what you watch. And it's what you focus on. And just remember, you can control that.
I was so
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to instruction number 26. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings, chapter 9. We're going to take another instruction out of chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 16. Then we're going to look at verse 22 through 24 and verse 27. Now, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is instruction 26. Jehud smites both kings of Israel and Judah. So we just read where he was anointed. He was a captain, and he was anointed king over Israel. And now he's going to kill the king that is in line or who was in line in Israel, Joram, and he's also going to kill the king of Judah. Listen to what 2 Kings verse 9 through 16 says. So Jehud rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahasuerus, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. So both of the kings of Israel and Judah were together. And then we're going to go to chapter 20, verse 22 through 24, and it says, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehud that he said, is it peace, Jehud? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And Joram turned his hand and fled and said to Ahasuerus, there is treachery, O Ahasuerus. And Jah drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went down out of his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Now, again, we're looking at a word that is not correct. We look in verse 23, it says, and Joram turned his hand and fled. And Jehu drew a bow with full strength and smote Jehoram. So again, it's a mistaken identity. And so, but we're going further with this. Let's go to verse 27. It says, but when Ahasuerus, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Abelum. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. So we're talking about a lot of things here happening, but the point is that God had through Elisha anointed a captain of the guard to be king, and the captain of the guard that became king killed the line or the lineage king of both Israel and Jerusalem. Okay, or Judah. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to see how this works out in the end. This is very significant, my precious brothers and sisters. You need to be paying attention to this, is because now we're going to see how the same thing is going to hold true in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 18 through 23. And listen, this is the Spirit talking to the church at Thyatira. This is critical. This is the instruction that the Spirit is saying that's going to happen to this group of people at this time. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So God is telling us that he will, like he did with Jehud, he will cause death to reign in the ranks of those who are disobedient. Now let's go to the final instruction for this evening. Let's go back to instruction number 27. We're going to look at 2 Kings verse chapter 9, verse 30 through 33. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the instruction. Instruction 27 is Jehud kills Jezebel. So, again, God's anointing of this captain is causing him to wreak havoc through the line of the lineage and heritage of both Israel and Judah. Listen to what chapter 9, verse 30 through 33 says. It says, And when Jehud was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tied her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehud entered in at the gate, she said, hath Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall. and on the horses, and he trod her under foot. And when he was come up, he did eat and drink, and said, Go, see now this cursed woman, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. All right, so you can see that Jehud has killed Jezebel. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read the results of what happened in Thyatira as a result of those who responded well to obedience to God. This is what Revelation chapter 2, verse 24 through 29 says. It says, But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, those who are obedient, as many as have not this doctrine, and would not have known the depths of Satan as they speak, I put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you can see that Jehud took care of Jezebel. We can see that in the Spirit speaking to the church at Thyatira, that God took care of those who were disobedient, and those who obeyed, they were saved and received the glory of God. So that completes the lesson for this evening, my precious brothers and sisters. And as we are getting ready to dismiss this class, what I'd like to say in behalf of the host and I, we would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and for your continued encouragement. And as I say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said, He that has an ear, let him hear. For we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And through faith, we know it's pleasing God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My brothers and sisters, God bless and good night.
The Lord said,
don't believe I could.
The Lord said,
go get some 30 gopher wood. You never know what you can do till you try. Build a 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high.
Know if I'm grace in the eyes of the Lord. Know if I'm grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason the scripture declares. Know if I'm grace.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.